of Parshas Korach is the machlokes, the dispute between Korach and his men and Moshe and Aharon. I notice as we're reading the parasha that there's a word that's used very often in this parasha, and as I look back in previous parashas as well, when there were arguments, when there were disputes. We find, for example, in the beginning of the parasha, right before Sheni, Aroin Mahu ki Salinu Olav. Salinu is to have a dispute, is to argue. This language of Vayilainu, and the people came and created a dispute, created an argument, is a lashon that is used repeatedly when Klal Yisrael is involved with the various disputes with Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayilainu kol adas bnei Yisrael mimacharas, even after Korach is swallowed by the earth, we find Vayilainu kol adas bnei Yisrael mimacharas al Moshe v'al Aaron, that the next day the people came again and created a dispute against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron. This language Vayilainu for a dispute is found also in last week's parasha, in Parasha Shalach. Well, of course, we had the incident of the Meraglim. So there we find repeatedly the same type of language, the language of Vayilainu, that the people argued with Moshe in this type of an expression. Right after Revi, Admasai Lo'eda Ra Hazai Sasher Hema Malinim Oloi. The language of malinim for a dispute. We find again there that when the Klal Yisrael is told they'll be punished, yiplu pigrechem b'chol pekudechem, even as Rishon of Amayla, asher halinoisem aloi. Again, the language of having a dispute, having an argument. Dispute in the language of Vayalinu, a language which is otherwise barely found. If you go back to Parshas B'Shalach, the first time Klal Yisrael complained at the incident of Marah, the bitter waters, there we find as well Vayilainu ha'am al Moshe le'mar manishtet. Also the language of Vayilainu. Afterwards, in the incident where they asked for basa, where they requested meat, the nachnu ma ki salinu aleinu. Again, the expression of salinu, and repeatedly, when Klal Yisrael is involved, b'shmei Hashem es plunai seichem, we find this expression. This expression, perhaps as in its words, a remez to an important lesson regarding arguments and disputes. The shayrish of the word lon, lamed and denun, alina, is similar to the idea of staying overnight. We know that the word lina refers to someone who stays someplace overnight. The lesson would be that human beings very often have tinnitus, have complaints against others. People are ready to make a dispute. A smart person puts it off. He waits until he cools down, till his anger subsides, and then does not get involved in a dispute. The problem here is not that they had a tinnitus tumeish. It's not a problem that Korach felt that maybe Moshe gave too many of the kibbutzim to his own family and not to others. The problem was Vayilainu, that they waited overnight and they still had their arguments the next day. That is the important lesson. To have a taina, to have a complaint against others, is actually, unfortunately, quite common that people have complaints against other people. A smart person lets it pass. I once heard an anecdote about a Rebbe who coached his Hasidim in Shalom Bayis, and he told them he had a miraculous water, Shalom Bayis Vasser, Shalom Bayis water, a pitcher of water the Hasid would take home. And he was upset at his wife. He had to do the following lysis. He would take a cup of this Shalom Bayis water, take it in his mouth, and hold it there for as long as he could. The longer he could keep it in his mouth, 15 minutes, a half hour, an hour, the greater the mysis. Because by the time he spit out the water, his anger had subsided and the machlaikis was gone. So that the avla of a machlaikis is someone who sticks with it. If someone has complaints, that's human nature. People have complaints. That someone is not able to get past it, that's a problem. Vayiloinu kol hadas b'nei Yisrael mimocharas. Klal Yisrael is still in an argument the next day. That is a lesson for chesaron imachlaikis, someone who can't put a complaint, put a taina behind him. We find, after the incident of Kairach, that Moshe Rabbeinu does a test. He has the leaders of each shevet place a stick. And Aaron HaKohen place a stick. And miraculously, all the other sticks remain as they are the next day. And Aaron's, of course, grew a almond plant, a flower, and almonds grew. And that was a sign that Aaron had been chosen. What's interesting is that after that takes place, the pasuk says, "Vayotzei perach, vayotzei tzitz, vayig moshgeden." The miracle took place with Aaron's stick. Vayotzei Moshe's kol amatis lo teishamu kol bnei Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu took it out for all the Jews to see, and the pasuk says, "Vayichu, vayiru, vayichu ish vateu." Each of the individuals took his stick. In other words, the Aaron stick remained together with the Aaron. But the other individuals, the stick remained the way it was. They took their sticks. Each one took his stick home. The question is, why? If you take a test and you fail your test, are you going to take that test home? Are you interested in bringing it home as a souvenir? These are the people who failed the test of the sticks. So why are they bringing their sticks home? Tzarechi and God. So I heard B'shem the Brisker Rav. I asked a few people about tracing down what exactly the Brisker Rav said. And I believe it's the following. The Brisker Rav said that when it comes to Torah, it's the tshuka, the desire, the rotzen, that counts the most. And that was Marunas here. These 12 others, now these were not members of Kairach's group. These were the leaders of Klal Yisrael. People were innocent in the Machlaikis. But they were called by Moshe Rabbeinu to sort of apply for the Kohen Gadolah. And each one with his stick applied and was hoping that maybe my stick will be the one that will have the sim and the sign that I am ready to be the Kohen Gadol. Afterwards, they took it home. Why? They took it home because they wanted to remember Lediris, that they had applied for this job. They had wished for this job. They cried for the job. They wanted to have the job. Rabbi Yisrael said no, they took it home, and that was that. So that it was a sign of their tshuka, of their original rotzen. I might add to this part, and maybe this is what the Brisker Rav said as well, I don't know, that if the lesson of the parsha is machlaikis, and the idea that we're discussing is the ability for a person to put a machlaikis behind him, then their taking the stick home was indeed beautiful. They took the stick home. And they showed people. I also wanted to be a Kohen Gadol, just like Kairach. But Kairach, Vayiloinu, Kairach stayed with his machlaikis by me. I failed. I took my stick home. It's my reminder. I don't start up at the Kohuna. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not choose me. Either way, the sticks that they took home were a beautiful sign of an accomplishment, despite the fact that they were not the ones that were chosen. So these are two thoughts on the parasha, one on Vayiloinu, one on these matais, and of course, each one is a lesson which is somehow slightly connected one to the other. I'd like to turn now to something for the coming summer months. I'd like to discuss briefly some halacha, Pashat halacha, that us city folk don't know when we go out to the country, and it comes lidei mishael. We who live in the city look at the laws of Tchum Shabbos, of Tchumin, as Hilchas Hilah Mashiachah, as a halacha that's not nogeya. Somehow it's similar to Tumas Sheretz, which is not applicable today, the Karban Chatos, which we don't have today. So this Hilchas Tchumin, if you live in a big city, it never comes up. However, when you're out to the country, you go to bungalow colonies or camps, and certainly people who live in suburban areas, it does come up. The laws of Tchumin are important. A person is not permitted to walk 2,000 amos away from his home. Actually, he's permitted to walk 2,000 amos, not more, away from his home. The people are not aware that 2,000 amos is not that much. It's about 7/10 of a mile, which is a 10 I've had the experience over the years when I was in the country to meet people who came to visit. I came to visit a bungalow colony from 40 minutes away. They actually walked two or three times the Trum. And we knew where the Trum ended, and we knew that they had walked from a place that they had no business coming from. And therefore, the first thing is this Zahiris, you know, this Trum in, as it applies in its most simple application. I'd like to add something else. In Siman Shin Tzadik Zayin, a nice Siman in Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, for one to take to learn, especially if you're going to the country, we read the halacha that a person's possessions, what a person owns, also has the halacha of Trumin. The things that a person owns are bound by the Trum of the person, so that if I own a necktie and I lend it to you on Shabbos, you are limited to the Trum to which I am allowed to go. You can't walk with my necktie to a place where I couldn't walk. If I lend it to you before Shabbos, then for that Shabbos, it's established as yours, and it's tied to your Trum. This is a clear halacha, nobody argues. What this means in application is that if, for example, someone has a son who's learning a Lakewood, and he's in Lakewood now, and he, the father is here in Brooklyn, or the brother is here in Brooklyn, and he wants a toy, so he goes and takes his son or his brother's toy, that tie may not be worn out of the house, because that tie is tied to the Trum of the person who normally uses it. If you'll say the father owns it, it's true the father owns it, but the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Shin Tzadik Zayin, talks about Echad Min HaAchim, one of the brothers who has something that's miyuchid designated for his use. And the Trum is established and remains based on that individual himself. And that is a common problem when people are traveling. A person may find himself at home and other family members far away. He has to know that the Trum of the objects in the house are limited to their owner unless they were borrowed before Shabbos. Naturally, in the house, you can carry things, because in the house, there is no Trum issue. Even something out of the Trum may be carried around in the building in which it's found. But this comes up, as I said, mostly with neckties, clothing, even a pair of socks that belong to someone who's chutzal trum. A person may not take it outside of the house in which it is found. I'd like to end with a kasha, the gadol hu alai. It seems to me to be a serious kasha. In order to ask the kasha, I have to tell you a gemara in Brachos Daf Yud. I think it's well known. The gemara in Brachos says that Reb Meir wanted to curse a Russia. His wife Beria said, "Itamu chatoi min haaretz." The pasuk says that may the sins be abolished from the land. It doesn't say itamu chaitim. It doesn't say sinners. It says sins. And since chatoi means sins, better pray that he do tshuva. Gemara is saying very clearly that the word chaitim refers to sinners, and the word chatoim refers to sins. We have a problem. This week's parasha, Perek Yuzayin, Pasuk Gimel, look at it. Es machto is hachatoim ha'ela. The shovels of these sinners. Hachatoim ha'ela b'nafshaysa. Yet the word chatoim means sinners. That seems to contradict this Gemara. It's a tremendous sarachion, hard to get around. The fact that the pasuk says something which seems to contradict the Gemara. And once this came to mind, in the Parsha of Sedaim, Parshas Vayera, Perek Yudgimel, Pasuk Yudgimel, it says there as well, V'anshi Sedaim Ro'im V'chatoim La'ashem Oid. Doesn't say V'chaitim. And therefore, Beruyev Psak, Itamu Chatoim, Naretz V'loi Chaitim, is one which is, to put it mildly, Tzorach Iyan Gavul. Be nice to come up with a terrace. A good Shabbos to one and all. Hope your summers will be meaningful. The summer, people and families typically have less obligations, no homework with the children. Hope this means more time in the Beis Medrash.